You ever been working along and you're doing your job and then all of a sudden the email dings, the telephone rings, somebody knocks on your door. Somewhere or another, there's a distraction. There's a big noise next door in the office next to you. People are yelling or screaming. Whatever the case may be, it's a distraction. And distractions, well, distractions are a pain in the neck. That's what they are. Hi there. This is the Business of Sales short form, which simply means that we're going to try and do something for you real quickly here. It's presented to you by Allego.com, and I'm Morris Sims. I'm a corporate escapee after 37 years, turned consultant and trainer. Yeah, I go out and try and help people get better at what they do with their business. Our sponsor is Allego, and Allego presents a sales enhancement platform or enablement platform. It's going to blow your socks off. Go to Allego.com and request a demonstration. If I could take you there by the hand and lead you and say, hey, push this button, I would, because I believe with my whole heart it can change your business for the better. So give it a try. In the short form, we're going to present to you a principle that's designed to help you and your business today. Our objective is to do that and give that to you, have it be something useful that you can use and do all of that in the next 10 minutes. So let's get after it. I tell you what, distractions are a pain in the neck, or whatever other potential body part you want to call it. They're a pain. You know what I mean. As I said, you're working right along. You've got your thoughts going. Things are flowing. Man, everything's just, the angels are descending. If you're writing words, they're coming faster than you can type them. If you're truly in the zone, in the flow, and you feel productive, well, it's wonderful. It's one of the best feelings there is. And then the phone rings, the email dings, the voice says, Mommy or Daddy, I'm hungry. A coworker knocks on the door, literally or virtually, and says, Hey, you got a minute? Well, the minute that happens, the flow is gone. The zone is never to be found again in this hour or two. And might as well just put a rewind and start the whole damn day over again. And here we are at like 11:45 in the morning. Distracted. Interrupted. Hauled away from productive and profitable use of your time to do what no one in the company can do but you. The stuff that you're called to do, the stuff that literally requires most of your brain and all of your focus and attention at that particular moment in time. Yeah, I know. We've all been there, right? You know what I'm talking about. Well, there's no reason to get upset with the distractor. They don't know how deep your brain is in solving the problems that you have before you. They only know that they have a real need. They have a problem, and they believe you're the only person who can help them solve that problem. So with that in mind, it's worth it to them to interrupt you. Now, there are several things that we can do, you and I, to reduce and eliminate distractions. Some of these are going to solve the problem of distractions and interruptions, but some of them are going to take some time. Some of it are going to take some time, and some of them you do with not a lot of regard to the feeling of other people for a short-term solution. But how do we stop it for the many tomorrows yet to come? Well, it's two different problems. Then that requires two different solutions, right? Problem number one, stop the distractions today. Nir Eyal wrote a book entitled Indistractable, and he addresses this whole thing very well. It's a good read. I recommend it. Indistractable, Nir Eyal. Nir talks about triggers that distract you and how to eliminate them. Well, here are a couple of things that you've probably heard before, I'm sure, but my challenge to you is to actually do it, because we've heard a lot of things, we just don't do them. You can sit there and tell me, oh, Morris, come on, I've done all this before. I've heard all this before, but my question is, did you ever actually really try it for more than a nanosecond? Most of us don't. I know I don't. So there are three things you can do that I want to challenge you to do in the next 3 weeks, and then decide how you can best use the concepts. You ready? Here goes. Number one, close the door and put a door knocker on the doorknob that says something like, hey, please come back in an hour and knock. I can't help you right now, but I can in an hour. You can have several different messages and, you know, make it be in your own voice. Hey, I'm in a meeting. Try me back after 10:30. I have a client on the phone until 1 o'clock. Please see me then. Or I'm up to my neck. Please text if this is critical. That's one thing you can do. The second thing you can do is just turn off the email, turn off the phone. Don't just silence it or change the computer program. I'm talking about turn off your computer, turn off your phone, turn off that application, whatever it is that's going to completely keep it out and take it away. Number three, time box your day by creating a schedule template. Do certain tasks at certain times of the day and then focus on what you're called to do at that time on that particular day. Check and respond to email at certain times during the day, for example. I've tried that one and I just can't seem to make it work. I guess I should, but I just haven't been able to make that one work. But how about long-term? What about those things that are going to happen until you do something long-term to change the behavior of the people around you? Distractions that are truly unnecessary because your team hasn't been taught to deal with them are problems that, unless you do something about it, they're not going to change their behavior. Well, here are a couple of ideas to remember. And this is a result of training and the company culture. It's not going to get solved overnight, and it will take teaching your team with consistency and patience, and frankly, with love. Number one, help your team understand that they shouldn't bring you a problem or a question that you have until you've had a chance to, or until they've had a chance to Google the answer for it. That didn't come out right, I don't guess. What I'm saying is teach them not to bring you something until they've looked for an answer, and chances are they're going to find it and never have to bring it to you. If they've had the problem and they might not be able to do anything about it, then give them a shot, give them a chance, but don't bring me a problem without a potential solution. You know, I mean, hey, Morris, gee, you know, we can't find the right color paint for this. Okay, well, what have you done to find the right color paint or to change the color? What are you doing to solve the problem? That's what we want to teach people to do. Number two, Dr. Phil says, you know, Dr. Phil, well, he says that we teach people how to treat us. And if you're 100% available all the time, you've taught your team that it's okay for them to use you as an encyclopedia. They can use you as Google. People won't think twice about pulling you off the shelf and doing their research or clicking on you just like they do on Google and using you as an encyclopedia and calling you or interrupting you at any time during the day. So maybe you have office hours when they know they will be able to talk with you. And if you've also taught them that they need to come to you with a solution, it can be productive time. Teach them when to come to you and what kind of problems to bring to you, the problems that they've already tried to find a solution for. Now, here's something else that I'd like to try, Morris. Then we can talk. Number three, don't solve their problem. Don't solve their problem. If you don't solve their problem, then they'll stop coming to you for a solution, right? I'm not saying don't help the business move forward. What I'm saying is take them by the hand and show them how to solve the problem for themselves. Don't just give it to them until they research it and find the answer themselves. Now, that takes a lot of chutzpah. If you don't want to be a pain in the, you know what, yourself, ask them what they did to find the answer and then walk them through what you would do to get the answer so that they'll learn something. If you didn't know, make them do it as you coach them along and do it at their computer in their office, not in your office. Remember, you can walk away from their office, but if they're camped out in front of your desk, it's a bit more of a challenge to get them to leave and to move on, right? And to drop this one and move to the next one. This concept of becoming indistractable is vitally important. When asked what's the most important skill a business owner can have, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett were asked to do that during an HBO interview where they both had to write down the answer. And they did, and then they revealed it to the host. They both wrote down one word, focus. You and I cannot focus if we're constantly interrupted and distracted. We won't be able to get into the zone and really work deeply. And you'll learn more about that if you check out the classic book by Dr. Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Habit number 3, putting first things first. David Allen wrote a book that's called Getting Things Done. David's flowchart on how to deal with things that are coming into your inbox, into your input, if you will, is absolutely an eye-opener. And Cal Newport, well, he's a computer professor, but he wrote a book called Deep Work, and it really is great thinking throughout. So give them all a shot. Give it a try. There you have it. I think you'll be able to do some really neat things, but there are a few ideas on how you can handle that pain in your neck that we call distractions and interruptions. I hope you find it helpful and practical. And until next time, I'm Morris Sims, and I'll see you right here on the Business of Sales Short Form.